Reverend Dr. Janice Bryant, to Minister William West, to Deacon Andrew Harrison, and your brother West, who joins us in the pulpit this morning, to our deacons, officers, and members, and to these young people in their Easter speeches. Amen. It's not as easy as it looks. They make it look easy. But we're thankful for those who work with them, not only here at church, but also those who work with them at home. We know that you have to work with them if you want to develop them. And for that, we are grateful. We would like to greet you with the traditional greeting for Easter, and that simply is, He has risen. And the proper response is, He has risen indeed. So we're going to start all over because I said my lines and you missed yours. He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Amen. Bless you. Bless you this morning. We do want to thank Brother Clark.
Amen.
Setting the stage, setting the ambiance. Coming and enjoying the upright bass and creating a spirit of inviting us into this worship. If you would, we would like to call your attention to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And we're reading from the NIV version. We ask that you follow along. By the inspiration of God, by the pen of Luke, these words are recorded. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away, but they entered. They did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners and be crucified and on the third day be raised again." In verse 8, then they remembered his words. We read into your hearing Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. We ask that there be a blessing to the reading and hearing of God's word. Simply want to tag this text, unexpecting the expected. Unexpecting the expecting. We know that in this life can beat you down to the point where you don't expect much. In fact, you just hope that things are as well as you left them. You expect things to actually get worse. You don't expect things to get better. You expect the government to get worse. You expect the education system to get worse. Even there are some who come to church with a sense of expecting things to be the same old, same old. They come with no expectation for a miracle. They don't come with an expectation for a life-changing experience. No, they just come because it's Easter. They come because it's Sunday. We come without expectation. We see in this text that the women, very early on the first day of the week, they took spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They went on that first resurrection morning, that first Easter Sunday. They went, but they went without any real expectations. In fact, they went expecting things to be as bad as it was on Friday. They went not because they was expecting something fresh and new. No, they went because of what Jesus had already done. See, they went that day because of what he had already accomplished. What he had already preached, what he had already teached. They went that day because of miracles he has already done. They went that day for all that he had already done. And there's some people like that. They come to church and they just want to thank God for yesterday. They want to thank God for last year. They want to thank God for his past. They want to thank God for where he brought them from. They want to thank God of what difference he has made in their life. But they have no real expectation of anything for now and tomorrow. No, they are grateful. They went because what he's already done. And that's good news. That's good news. They went with heavy hearts. They went with disappointments. They went with problems. They went with concern. But at the end of the day, they went. And so often any little excuse can stop us. Oh, a little rain forecast can stop us. Temperature get too high, that'll stop us. Temperature get too low, that'll stop us. We got to call ahead and find out who's going to be there. Could that determine whether or not we're going ourselves? We come with any reason to stop us will stop us. But thanks be to God, they kept on going. They had problems, but they kept going. They had circumstances, but they kept going. They had a situation. They kept going. They had things they couldn't handle. But yet, they went anyhow. And since it's Easter, and I may not get a chance to holler at some of y'all, let me holler at you for a minute. You ought to come anyhow. Yeah, you ought to come first Sundays. You ought to come on second Sundays. See what we're doing on third Sunday. Check us out on fourth Sunday. Investigate on fifth Sunday. Just come to the house of the Lord. Now, I know I pastor in 2026. I'm grateful for technology. I'm grateful that there are some who's able to enjoy this worship experience, even though they're unable to come home, but come to the house of God. They're able to still enjoy the worship experience. But some of us, we use it as an excuse to sleep in. We use it as an excuse so we don't have to look for no clothes. We use it as an excuse. We don't have to put no gas in the car. No, you ought to come if you can come. As often as you can come. They came with low expectations. They came expecting the same old, same old. They came expecting Jesus' body to be in the grave. They came expecting his corpse to be in the tomb. They came with unexpecting the expecting. They came not expecting what they should have been expecting. See, it shouldn't be an accident when God moves on you. It shouldn't be by coincidence. You ought to be looking for it. You ought to be expecting it. I heard somebody say, I'm looking for a miracle. I don't know about you, but there's circumstances in my life that I just can't handle. I got to turn it over to the Lord. And then I start looking and waiting for him to work it out. They came with low expectation. They even walked into the tomb. They walked into the tomb and they found nobody there. The body of the Lord wasn't there. I'm sure there, even the little glimmer of helpfulness that they had, that they were able to minister to his body, is now gone. The very opportunity to perform the last rites, the very opportunity to minister to him and take care of him in his final moments, but it was all damned and dashed. But now, they find somebody at the tomb. When they entered and didn't find his body, the scripture says, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. First thing you need to see, if you're going to move from unexpected to expected, you're going to have to change your direction. There was a change in direction. There was a change in focus. He had to get your mind off of one thing and get your mind on something else. And it happens with a question. I love the question that these men asked. He said, do you seek the living? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you searching for the living among the dead? Why are you expecting the living among the dead? They came looking for the dead, but what they should have been looking for was the living. They expected a sealed tomb. They expected a dead Jesus. They expected nothing to change. But in one question, the angel changes their direction. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Quick story. It was a young man. He was had lost a coin. And if you heard my story, then don't give away my punchline. He lost a coin. And sun went down on him. It became dark. And he was still searching. Searching under a streetlight. A man closed down shop, saw that young man out there, been searching for hours. He came out and he said, young man, what you looking for? He said, I lost my coin. He said, but I don't think I ever find it. And the man said, don't give up hope, young man. I'll help you. We'll look for it. We'll find your coin. And they looked for a few minutes. He said, son, where did you lose the coin? He said, I lost it over there in the dark. But I came looking for it over here in the light. Now we actually do the exact opposite. This is a reversal. This is a illustration of contrast because we actually do the opposite. We look for the light in the darkness. We look for peace in the club. We look for companionship in the street. We're looking for joy in all the wrong places. We're looking for that security in our soul. We're looking for that peace in our mind. We're looking for it in the dark when we ought to be looking for it in the light. So often we want to get our life right in the street before we come to the Lord. No, you're going to have to get your life right when you come to the Lord. That's the first step of getting it right. You want to get your finances right? Come to the Lord. You want to get your marriage right? Give to the Lord. You want to get your relationship with your children right? Come to the Lord. It's there in the light that we can find that which we'll need. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? They came heavy heart wondering how the stone gonna be moved away. And when the stone was moved, when they got there, they couldn't even rejoice. You know, some of us, we can't even get happy when good things happen for us. We can't even rejoice. You remember they was all down. They was all worried. They was all concerned. Who was going to roll this stone away? And when they get there, the stone has already been rolled away. It seems to me that should have been a moment to pause. That should have been a moment to praise God. That should have been. He already fixed something that we couldn't do. And some of us are that same way. God moved a stone this week and you didn't stop to say thank you. God moved a hindrance this week and we didn't pause to throw up our hand and say, Lord, I want to thank you. Yeah. Why? Because we're looking in the wrong place for the wrong thing. Yeah. They had to have their focus redirected. Yeah. And once God redirects their focus, he can reveal a truth that you can arrive at. And the truth is in the words, in the revelation, he is not here. He has risen. That's the word that they share with him. He is not here. He is risen. In other translations, it says, just as he said. Why are you looking for him here? When he told you he wasn't going to be here. Why are you looking for him at this address when he told you he's going to move out? Why are you looking at him at this location when he told you that he was already just borrowing it? Why are you looking for him here? He is not here. He has risen. Heaven already interrupted their grief with the truth. Heaven has already stopped their pain with the revelation. He is not here. This revelation reveals that what Jesus said came to pass. See, resurrections ain't that, I mean, it's a big deal, but it's common in scripture. There's several resurrections. Actually, there's some that's going to take place even in the New Testament. I mean, Paul resurrected a man that he done bore to death. Peter done resurrected a man. Jesus resurrected him. It's not the resurrection. The resurrection was already proven to be possible. Amen. What made the difference is that Jesus said, on the third day, I shall be risen. Lazarus didn't say that. Lazarus didn't say, if I die in 3 days, I'll rise again. That widow's son didn't say, if I die, I'll rise again. Jesus said, if they crucify me in 3 days, on the third day, I shall rise again. The revelation is that he fulfilled his word. That's why you can tell the strength of the church in his sedum class. You can count who you can count on in midweek Bible study. Why? Because the focus is on his word. They're in grief because they did not know his word. If they would have known that he said on the third day, they wouldn't have never went there. If they would have recalled what he had said, they would have never showed up. His resurrection was the fulfillment of his word. He has risen just as he said. And don't you know, if he be not risen, it wasn't his good deeds why I'm here this morning. I'm here this morning because he is risen from the dead. In fact, without the resurrection, our preaching would be in vain. Without the resurrection, your faith will be in vain. Without the resurrection, our service will be in vain. But because of the resurrection, we can preach. Because of the resurrection, we can hope. Because of the resurrection, we can keep the faith. The revelation is because he has said it, he fulfilled it. Which means you can hold on to his word. What he have said, you can take it to the grave. What he have said, you can hold on to, regardless of what you're going through. Just hold on to his word. He is not here. Remember, he told you. He told you while you were still in Galilee. Didn't you hear him when he told you that on the third day he will be risen? There was no new plan. This was no surprise. God had forewarned him. And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's kind of how God works. God will tell you before he do it. Because God knows in the past what he's going to do in the future. God already knows what he's going to do tomorrow, so he don't mind telling you yesterday. He ain't worried about it coming to pass. He ain't worried. He already knows that it's going to come to pass. So he can tell you before it come to pass. And so he gives them this revelation. He is not here. He has risen. But then thirdly, we find that they remembered. The scripture says in verse 8, then they remembered. Then they remembered what he told them. Amen. Once they remembered what he told them, they ran back and told the disciples. Once they remembered that he told them, their memory brought happiness. Their memory brought joy. Their memory restored their faith. It rekindled their hope. Once they remembered what he told them. And brothers and sisters, our memory become the hinge for resurrection faith. it hinges on our remembering what the Lord has already said he would do. And that's why it's important that when you go through a storm, that you remember what he said. Remember that he said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And when I think about that, I think that it's not when things are glory. It's not when everybody can see the hand of the Lord. It's in the darkness of the hour. It's when trouble is all around you. When it feels like you can't go on, you ought to remember that he is the light of the world. You ought to remember that he is the resurrection. Remember his words. He promised never to leave us. He promised never to forsake us. You ought to remember that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You ought to remember that he said, it is finished. It is complete. It is over. It is done. We have to remember his word. And brother and sister, when you remember his word, when you remember what he said, then when you come to the house of the Lord, you ought to come with an expectation. You ought to come expecting your burdens to be rolled away. You ought to come expecting your problems to be solved. You ought to come expecting that which is broken to be fixed. You ought to come expecting a life changing experience. You ought to come expecting an encounter with God. You ought to come expecting God to invade your world. We ought to come not unexpecting. We ought to come expecting. We ought to come seeking. We ought to come looking. We ought to come to the Lord. Lord, move in your way. Because you already said that you'll take care of me. You already said that you're looking out for me. I can walk out of here with the same problems. I can walk out of here with the same sickness. I can walk out of here with the same grief. But I walk out with the assurance that I'm walking with the Lord. I walk out with the assurance that he holds me. He keeps me. Because he promised in his word, if I will be obedient to his word, he said, lo, I will be with you. Always, even until the end of the age. He walks with us. And so we can come expecting. We can come expecting the blind to see. We can come expecting the deaf to hear. We can come expecting sinners to be saved. We can come expecting folk to fall out of their wicked ways. We can come expect somebody to make a renewed commitment. We can come with great expectation because of the Easter story. Because Jesus said it, and in 3 days he did it. He said he's going to be risen, and in 3 days he was risen from the grave. And so we can trust that. We can hold on to that regardless of what happened in this world, regardless of what happens in this life, regardless of the problems, regardless of the situations. You know, some people think I'm naive. I am not naive. I just trust the Lord. I ain't got to fuss and fight. I trust the Lord to keep you up at night. Bother they sleep, oh Lord. Affect their appetite. I put it in the Lord's hand. And so when we come here, we ought to be expecting a blessing, expecting a miracle. Expect the Lord to move in your life and in your situation. And the good news is, even if he don't, at least you got a better expectation. At least you got better spirit. At least you got a better hope. At least your head is up. At least your eyes are up. At least now you're looking to the Lord. They came unexpecting the expected. We ought to come expecting God to fulfill his word. Expect him to do just what he said. May God bless you and may God keep you today. At this time, we're going to extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. We want you to know that we have been praying that the word of God will prick your heart. And we're expecting the Lord to move right now. So as the deacons come and the greeters come, we invite you to come. You don't have to have all the answers. You can come with all the questions. Just come as you are. Come to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Come as a candidate for baptism. Come because you believe in the Lord, but you haven't been faithful to the church. We invite you to come to Ebenezer to be a part of what the Lord is doing here. He's doing the same work here he's doing everywhere, trying to turn sinners into saints. And so we invite you, will you come? And if you're online, we ask that you put a word in comments. And we definitely will reach out to you. Will you come? Amen. Amen, Sister Davis.
Good morning, Ebenezer.
Good morning.
We have coming to us Traylyn Daniels. And she's been in Texas, in Austin, about 6 months, and she would like to join Ebenezer.
Amen.
And on Christian Experience.
Amen. Amen. Traylyn. Amen. Amen. Bless you this morning. Bless you morning. So is your desire to unite with Ebenezer?
Yes, sir.
Amen. 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 We thank you for that. And Sister David will definitely be sharing with you the next steps and everything. Welcome aboard. Amen. Amen. Will you take it back? Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Amen. See, that's it to it, people. I'm not going to give you a theological exam. I don't know what to say. At this time, if you would, make your heart ready for our communion.